I'm reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and I'm reading from the first three verses. As Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings. But he responded, "Do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another." Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world?" "Tell us," they said, "what sign will signal your return and the end of the world?" I've entitled what I want to share with you with this morning as the fourth message that we're bringing in this current series is the signs of his coming. The last time we met together, we asked two questions. They were, how will Jesus come again? And when will he come again? We've entitled this series of message, The End Times. What we're talking about is the time when the age will be wrapped up and Jesus Christ will return again as he promised to this earth. In verse 3, the disciples asked Jesus, "What sign will signal your return and the end of the world?" If we were to continue reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, we would find that Jesus gave four major signs prior to his coming and the end of the age. Four major signs. And this morning, I don't know how far we're going to get with this, but we're going to have a stab at it. We're going to have a look at these four major signs. Of course, there are other signs that are mentioned in the Bible. But as we look at these four major ones, all the other signs fit into these four. And it's these four major signs that I want us to look at this morning. First of all, sign number one, there will be disasters in the world. Matthew's Gospel 24, verses 4 to 8. Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming that I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yet these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come." So sign number one, there will be disasters in the world. And here in Matthew, three are mentioned: wars, earthquakes, and famines. This list is not exhaustive. There are many other environmental disasters that are mentioned. In the book of Revelations, for instance, polluted rivers and oceans are part of the end times. And we're seeing that now. Hailstones. Great, big, gigantic hailstones. We're also seeing that. But this first sign is clearly evident that Jesus said, "Watch out for wars. Big wars. Ethnic wars. Little kinds of wars. Little skirmishes breaking out here and there. Wars of all kinds." Friends, there have been many international conflicts since World War II ended, to say nothing of civil disturbances that are happening. I googled how many wars are taking place in the world today, this week. And they estimate that in the world at this present time, there are something like 38 wars taking place on planet Earth. And you know that the UK, we are involved in several of them that are taking place. Escalating violence, increasing lawlessness will be a sign of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Great Britain Our great nation is fast becoming a lawless society. Gangs roam the streets. Stabbings, people getting shot are all too common. Our police force is stretched and our prisons are full. On our TVs recently, on the streets of our capital, we witnessed the unrest that was there and the civil disobedience that was taking place. There are many politicians who are talking about a new world order of peace. Friends, the Bible doesn't say that there will be peace. In fact, the Bible says exactly the opposite. It says that in the last days, lawlessness will abound. And things will wax worse and worse. Let me tell you, folks, don't look for utopia. It's not going to happen. Things are not going to get any better. In fact, my Bible tells me they're going to get a whole lot worse than they are now. Mankind has lived with wars right down the centuries. But the sheer annihilation potential of today's weaponry that exists, it makes it that we are living in a unique time. A time, friends, in which is really unprecedented in human history. And the prophetic words of Jesus in our generation are being fulfilled. Jesus said, unless those days are shortened, no flesh will be saved. We are living in a time where it is possible for the entire population of the world to be annihilated. Because of these weapons of mass destruction and this high technology. A day when human extinction is a possibility. Jesus said, it is possible, but it won't happen. And the reason it won't happen, when the entire population of the world could be wiped out, is because of the elect's sake. Because of the redeemed of the Lord. Because of your sake and mine. And those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. And so the first sign that we need to look out for is wars of all kinds and an increasing number breaking out and lawlessness and disobedience. The second sign, before Jesus returns, we are told that there will be earthquakes in various places. Now we're all aware, friends, of earthquakes that have devastated parts of the world, even in the last few months. Folks, I would really appreciate it if folks could really, you know, not move around while the preaching of the Word of God is going on. This is important. It is vitally important. If we need to go to the loo, let's go to the loo before the preaching of the Word of God begins. It is vitally important that we have ears to hear what God is saying. When people are moving around, it does cause disturbance. Please forgive me for getting a little hot under the collar. But it does get me angry. We're not talking to children. We're talking to grown-up adults. Praise God. We've all seen the devastation that these earthquakes have caused. Haiti, Japan, Indonesia, New Zealand, Christchurch in New Zealand have been devastated, flattened by earthquakes that have taken place. And friends, they are increasing at an alarming rate of frequency. In the last 13 weeks, or in the last 30 days in the UK, I wonder how many can tell us how many earthquakes we've experienced in the UK alone in the last 30 days. We've experienced 13 earthquakes in the last 30 days in the UK. Since 2011 turned the clock at midnight on the 1st of January, there have been some 934 earthquakes on the over the Richter scale of 5. Now 5 is a big earthquake. 6, there have been over 5. Now let me get let's get these statistics right. There have been 99 earthquakes over the Richter scale of 6. And there have been 7 earthquakes, including the Japan one, this one, the big one, over the Richter scale of 7. And friends, I want to say this morning, this trend will continue. Watch as the number and the magnitude of earthquakes grow. They will be extremely devastating. Jesus said, this is the beginning of sorrows. Earthquakes have been with us since ancient times. In fact, the Bible records them. And there, friends, we are now doubling in numbers every 10 years. So earthquakes are doubling in number every 10 years. 1 million people died in earthquakes during the 20th century. And scientists are now acknowledging that in this 21st century, we might see 10 times as many deaths, with up to 1 million people being lost in a single blow. We can expect to see earthquakes taking place, even in places where they are not normally expected. Earthquake expert John Nance says this: it is dangerous arrogance for any of us, wherever we live, to assume the problem is isolated to any particular region. We stand united in this seismic peril. They can happen anywhere. Sign number one, watch out for the wars. Sign number two, watch out for the earthquakes. And then Jesus went on, when he was talking about world disasters, to speak about famine. Famine is widespread in the developing world. And in the end times, there's going to be drought and famine. Lack of rain and a lack of food will stalk the earth on a massive scale that we have never ever seen before. Which one of us, friends, in here this morning, have not been reduced to tears when we have seen the starving thousands on our TV screens? Places like Bangladesh, Africa, India, people starving. The fact is, we will go to bed tonight with a full stomach, while 2/3 of the population of the world will go to bed starving. Friends, the sheer magnitude of this problem is gigantic. The truth is, Jesus said that in the last times before he came again, we can expect to see famine on a worldwide scale in the nations, in all the nations of the earth. So sign number one, the first major sign, is keep a watch for the disasters that are happening in the world, especially wars, earthquakes, and famines. The second major sign will be deserters in the church. We'll not read this, but in Matthew 24, verses 9 to 14, it talks about there of a great falling away. Friends, the changes in the church in the last days will be universal in scale. And again, there are three features that we need to watch out for of this sign that are mentioned here in Matthew 24. They relate to one another. There will be opposition, there will be a reduction in numbers, and there will be expansion in the church. The first sign that we need to watch out for is opposition. Followers of Jesus will be hated by all nations, which will bring about a corresponding increase in martyrdom. The Bible says that many in the last days will die for their faith. And it's good to remind ourselves, friends, this morning, while we are here in apparent peace and safety, there are Christians in other parts of the world who this morning are dying for their faith. And they are being persecuted for their faith. Approximately, there are 250 political nations in the world today. And Christians are under pressure and are being persecuted in all but 30 of those nations. 30 of the nations are relatively free for Christians to live and breathe. For the rest of the 210, there is persecution and oft-times death. Christians are under pressure. And let me say this about the United Kingdom. What we are seeing now in our nation is only the thin end of the wedge. It started here. And if you've got eyes to see, you'll see it. And if you've got ears to hear, you'll hear it. Friends, it's only the thin end of the wedge, but it's already started in Great Britain. And it will get worse. It's not going to get better. The freedom that we have enjoyed as a nation, I want to say it's fleeting. We need to continue to enjoy it while we can, but it's not going to last forever. The signs are already flashing. Church, can I say this morning, we need to get ourselves ready for persecution. And we need to get ourselves ready for suffering. And I want to tell you, if you're not linked into Jesus, you're not going to hack it. The second change in the church will be a reduction in numbers. Such pressure, such persecution in these last days will quickly reveal the difference between nominal and genuine Christians. Mere churchgoers will give way. Due to the moral corruption, their love for Christ will cool. The Bible says, because iniquity abounds in these last days, the love of many, notice that, not a few, the love of many shall wax cold. There will be many who will be turning away from the faith, betraying Christ and fellow Christians. That day, the Bible says, will not come, the day of the Lord, unless there first of all comes a falling away. Listen, friends, some people leave church and some people leave the Lord for all kinds of little petty things. Let me tell you, on that day, there will be such persecution and tribulation for the saints of God that if you find it easy to walk away over little petty things, let me tell you, you're going to run away when this comes. There will be many, the Bible says, who will turn away from the faith. The third change in the church will be expansion. Persecution will purify the church. History records that the church thrives under persecution. China is a typical example. Under the communist regime in China, the Christians were persecuted. And they went underground. They were either imprisoned or persecuted or even died for their faith. And so the Christians in China, under this communist regime, they went underground. When the bamboo curtain came down, when it all ended, it revealed that the small number that had gone underground had now turned into millions. Hallelujah. Millions and millions of Chinese serving the Lord. Friends, a church purified under pressure becomes a preaching church. It's this third development that will be the will bring in the completion of the task of world evangelism. It will fulfill the words of Jesus. This gospel shall be preached in all the world and then the end shall come. Only when the gospel reaches all nations of the world can history be wound up. Only then will the mission be completed. So the first sign that we looked at was world disasters. That will raise up many false messiahs. The deserters in the church will bring about a spate of false prophets. In the true church, we believe in the fivefold gift that God has given to the church of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher. Thank God that ministry will continue. The work of the prophet. Thank God there are still prophets in the church of Jesus Christ today. That will still continue. We will need discernment as Christians against false prophets. The Old Testament gives us some guidance about the content of false prophecy. In Jeremiah, it talks about they say peace and safety. They offer peace where there is no peace. False prophets reassure people with some type of comfort when there's trouble looming. In other words, they said, don't worry, it'll be okay. Everything will be okay. It'll never happen. Jeremiah, he was a lone voice, saying that God is going to judge Israel, Jerusalem is going to be ransacked and destroyed, and the other prophets were saying, he's telling a whole bunch of lies, don't worry. It's all going to be peaceful and calm. The Babylonians will never come. Well, we know that they did come. And they ransacked, just as Jeremiah had prophesied. But there were false prophets. It's possible, friends, that many Christians can be lulled into a false sense of security by the teaching that all Christians will be taken out of the world before the great tribulation begins. And they can say, well, God will not allow Christians to go through the great tribulation. Let me tell you, friends, for a lot of believers today, they're going through it now. For a lot of believers today, they are being persecuted for righteousness and are being killed and destroyed. Families are being taken off them. Why is God not stopping it now? Friends, let's not live in a false sense of security. The teaching that we're going to be taken out before the tribulation begins often can be teaching that can leave Christians unprepared for the trials and the testings ahead. We need to get ready. And we need to get ready for persecution and opposition. Another characteristic of false prophecy is to make light of the sins of the people of God, as if those of the elect of God can do what they want and they're eternally secure. I know we've already discussed this in our life groups, but friends, the Bible does not teach once saved, always saved. The Bible does say we've got to all work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Jesus clearly stated those who endure to the end shall be saved. Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of God. There are plenty of scriptures that speak of Christians making shipwreck of their faith. The words are used, turning away or falling away. We've looked at one this morning about the love of many waxing cold. Jesus used the illustration when he pointed to Lot's wife and he said, remember Lot's wife who turned back. He was on about those who backslide. Friends, if backsliders were to come back, this place would already be full. People who've once made a commitment to serve God and given Jesus Christ their lives, and for whatever reason, they've walked away from him. Sometimes little petty reasons. They blame this and they blame something else. And they walk away. They're not just walking away from the church. They're walking away from God. There are plenty of scriptures that talk about people falling away. Apostasy, the public denial of Christ in word or deed, will jeopardize our future salvation. Those who disown me, Jesus said before men, them will I also disown before my Father who is in heaven. And that's a sobering challenge to us all. We've all got to work out our own salvation. You know as well as I do that sitting in a seat here this morning, you are not guaranteed a place in heaven. The only thing that guarantees you getting to heaven if you were to die today is that your sins have been forgiven, you've repented of your sin, and you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Friends, that is the only guarantee that you've got. Coming to New Life Church, sitting in a seat this morning, filling a pew, as you might say, will not get you into heaven. Do you know that you're born again? Have you the assurance this morning that if you were to die at this moment, you would go to be with the Lord? Friends, if you haven't got that assurance, you need to get right with God this morning. You must, Jesus said, you must be born again. It's a must to get into the kingdom of God. Jesus predicted in these last days that many will turn from the faith and the love of many will grow cold. We are living in the last and closing days of time. What a day to live in, eh? What a day to be alive. Alive for God. We are people, the Bible says, upon whom the ends of the age have come. Seeing then that all these things will shortly be dissolved and God's order will come, what manner of persons ought we to be? And yet there is an even greater crisis to come for the people of God. A crisis which could wipe out even the faithful remnant, were it not for the fact that God in his sovereign power will strictly limit its duration. The third major sign that we need to look for, the sign that will take place before the coming of the end, will be a dictator in the Middle East. Matthew's Gospel 24 verses 15 to 28. Job wrote, "Man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward." You know, friends, if you want to live a life free from trouble, don't become a Christian. Because let me tell you, trouble and the Christian go hand in hand. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. You're going to get some trouble. It could start in your own house. Because a man's foes will be there of his own household. It could start right in your immediate family. Jesus said, from now on, he said, there will be division in the home. And what he meant was, when one person gets saved in a family, it brings division. And I know that there are people in this congregation this morning, you've got loved ones who are not saved. Can I encourage you, keep on praying. Keep on believing for their salvation. Keep on standing firm. You young folks, look across the congregation this morning. See so many young people under the age of 21. The chances are you've got parents who are not in the kingdom of God. I want to just pray that our young folks will get something dynamic from God. That the parents will see the difference and desire that they might come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior as well. The Bible says that trouble and the Christian go hand in hand. Peter writes, "Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." But these troubles for the believer will reach a climax in a short, sharp crisis known as the Great Tribulation. Or in other words, this big trouble. Jesus said more about this sign than the other three that he mentioned, the other three major ones in Matthew. He based his warnings on a phrase used three times by the prophet Daniel. Daniel speaks of the abomination that comes from desolation, or the one who causes desolation. Daniel was referring to a human conqueror who, in the very city where the name of God was honored, in Jerusalem, would utter blasphemous words and he would commit obscene deeds. The Bible has a lot to say about this man, and I'm just very conscious of the time. But he's referred to as the Antichrist. The Bible tells us that the reign of this man will be cut short. In fact, the book of Revelation is more specific. The Bible says that he will reign with Terah for a period of 1,260 days, or 42 months, or if you break that down, he will reign in Terah over not just Israel, but the nations of the earth for 3.5 years. Jesus advises all at that time who are living in Judea to leave as quickly as possible without even waiting to pack. In other words, Jesus was saying, get away from this man. It's interesting, when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans in AD 70, 1 million Jews lost their lives. And yet no Christians perished. Do you know why? They took heed of the words of Jesus. And they thought that this was the time that Jesus was speaking about. And so the moment the Emperor Titus and his troops arrived, Christians fled to Pila, which is a small town in Judea. Hopefully, believers in and around Jerusalem at the end of time will act as promptly. Jesus said, pray that your flight, your evacuation, is not on the Sabbath. Why? Because in Israel there is no available transport in the Sabbath. It's all shut down. Or in the cold of winter. Because if it happens in the cold of winter, they will have to sleep under the open heavens. Pregnant and nursing women will have a particularly hard time in keeping up with the evacuation of getting away. John refers to this man, this ruler, this despot, as the Antichrist. Paul talks of him as the man of lawlessness. In the book of Revelation, he's referred to as the beast. And together with the religious conspirator, his religious conspirator, the false prophet, these two will set up a totalitarian reign in which only those who submit to their authority by being branded with their mark will be allowed to buy and sell food and goods. The Bible says he will cause all, both small and great, to receive a mark. It will either be in their hand, their forehand, or upon the head. And the Bible goes on to say that the mark will be the number of man. The number of man is 6. And the mark will be a number which is 666. Its full meaning, I think, will be obvious when the time comes. But there are some of us lived long enough to see that this is already a prototype in the world. People now have marks in their hands. In other words, currency will be out the window. We'll not be going with currency or even the plastic cards to the supermarkets or wherever we go to buy and sell. It will be a mark in people's forehand or upon their heads. And friends, I want to say it's happening now in some places. The prototype already exists. The authority of this tyrant will not just be in Israel, it will be universal. Revelation 13 verse 7, he was given authority to rule over every nation, people and language. And the distress that will be caused by the reign of this Antichrist will be unparalleled. It will be a time of great tribulation. Jesus said there hasn't been anything like it since the beginning of time. And there will be nothing like it after. It will be the greatest pressure that the followers of Christ will have ever known. It will be terribly fierce, but it will be mercifully brief. During this period, false prophets and messiahs, they will gather like vultures. There will be supernatural displays of occult power. And the Bible says they will try and deceive even the elect. There will be many rumors that Christ has returned. And believers will be told where they can find him. Don't listen, Jesus said, to the rumors. Don't go seeking after him. Only those in Judea must travel, not to encounter Christ, but to escape the Antichrist. The rest of God's people must stay where they are, keeping their ears closed to the rumors that are flying around, keeping their eyes open, watching and praying, like Jesus said. You know, for us here this morning, this whole extraordinary scenario, it may be difficult for us to imagine or even believe. But friends, we have the word of Jesus telling us it's going to happen. See, I have told you ahead of time. And I want to say this morning, we might not understand it all, but we need to believe his word. We need to trust in what Jesus said. His word, his truth. And in his kindness and in his foreknowledge, he has warned us, friends, and he is trying to prepare us with detailed information about these last of the last days, this time of the end times. Those of us who accept and act upon the word of God will be safe when the storm breaks. Two vital points to note at the end of the great tribulation. Number one, Christ has not yet come, although there are plenty of rumors that he has. And the second point is this: Christians have not yet gone. They are still on earth experiencing the widespread distress. The only ones who escape, and the Bible mentions them, are the martyrs. And there are hundreds and thousands of them. Revelation 6, 7, chapter 11, 13, and chapter 20 speaks of those who will be martyred for the faith at that time. Others will be safely hidden in deserted areas. The warning, friends, to us as believers is to be faithful and patient and endure in these difficult times that are coming upon the world. This crisis, this time of great trouble, can be measured in days, and it will soon be over because of the elect's sake. Unparalleled trouble. There will be only one more sign, and with this we're going to finish, before the Lord will return. The Bible says there will be darkness in the sky. Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31. This final sign will follow immediately after the distress of these days. There will be no more delay. Those who live to see this dictator coming and arising in the nations of the world, especially in the Middle East, will have a very good idea about when Jesus will come back. The knowledge of his imminent return should encourage those who are living through these difficulties to hold on during those terrible months of great distress and turmoil. This last sign will be unmistakable. All the natural sources of light will be extinguished, leaving the whole sky as black as ink. Day will become night. The sun and the moon and the stars, they'll be shaken out of their orbits, no longer to shine on the earth. Isaiah prophesied of this day. Joel prophesied of it. Jesus said, before that day dawns, the sun will be turned into blackness and the moon into red blood before the coming of the Son of Man. Friends, the sky has already reflected key events in the life of Christ. At his birth, there was that brilliant star. When he died, the sun was eclipsed and there was darkness over the whole of the earth. All these are only a foreshadowing of the cosmic welcome to his return again. The absence of natural light, remember, the world will be in blackness, will make the spectacular lightning all the more noticeable. The sky that is pitch black will suddenly be filled with brilliant light. It will be the glory of the coming of the Son of God in clouds and in great power and glory. Hallelujah. Friends, the three on the Mount of Transfiguration saw his glory, Peter, James, and John. They saw the glory of who he was. And I want to tell you, friends, the whole world will see it on that day. The glory of the Son, coming of the Son of Man, blazing around the globe, seen by everyone. A few years ago, I went to Sunderland Empire to watch the river dance. You know, the Irish dancers. Is it the river dance they call them? And I can remember sitting in that theatre and everybody was chattering. And then suddenly the lights dimmed. It was a sign to everyone in that theatre that when the house lights dimmed, the curtain was about to rise. And there was a hushed silence that spread right across the theatre in anticipation for the curtain to go up and the stage to be bathed in brilliant light. When the curtain went up, the spotlight came right down on the central character or the central actors on the stage. And I want to say, friends, that's what it will be like on that day. The nations will see lightning, the Bible says, coming from east to west. They will see Jesus riding on the clouds with power and great glory. And as the awful realization dawns upon unbelievers, they will be overcome with grief, remembering all the wasted opportunities. Now they will be the ones to experience the unprecedented distress. The Bible says they will be calling for the rocks and the hills to fall upon them. They'll want to flee away from the presence of the Lord. It will not be so for the believer. We who've waited so long for this day to arrive. I want to tell you, friends, believers will see the lightning flashing from east to west. They'll also hear a trumpet. Hallelujah. The trumpet shall sound. It'll be loud enough to wake the dead. The dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive will be caught up above those clouds to meet the coming King in the air. Hallelujah. Just as the shofar, the ancient ram's horn, was a call for God's people to gather, this will be the same. Angels will escort believers from the four corners of the earth. There are those of us here this morning who've been privileged to visit Israel. Some of you have not gone. But for many, this will be their first trip. Hallelujah. You're going to Israel. This will be the first trip many believers will have to go to the Holy Land. For everybody, it'll be a free trip. Isn't that marvelous? It will be a free trip. For we will all have been changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now we'll be clothed in our heavenly bodies. Will not precede those who've died. They'll be raised first. And we'll meet them in the air. For the meeting of meetings. When we meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. Paul says, this is a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We will not all die. But we shall all be changed. In the moment. In the twinkling of an eye. And the dead in Christ will be raised first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Believers will be transported to Israel above the clouds to meet the coming King. Just as Philip was transported after he had met the Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible says he saw him no more, but he was found at Azotus, transported. So we will be transported from the four corners of the earth. Angels will gather us to that place above Jerusalem in the sky. Unbelievers will be left behind. Jesus said it'll be like two in a field, two men, one will be taken, the other left. Two women grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Families will be forever divided, but the faithful followers of Jesus will be forever united with each other, and most importantly, with the Lord. The Bible says we shall be forever with the Lord. Friends, it's hard for us to imagine a world in darkness. But under this darkness will come the glory of the Lord. And the Bible says the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. There's a tremendous verse in Zechariah. It says in Zechariah 14 verse 6, on that day, the sources of light will no longer shine. We've already looked at that. Yet there will be a continuous day. Only the Lord knows how this could happen. There will be no normal day and night, for at evening, it will still be light. Hallelujah. It's the glory of the Lord that will fill the earth. Behold, he comes in clouds and with great power, and the glory of the Lord. And the king will return. We'll meet him first in the air and then come back with him. And his promise, what he stated all those thousands of years ago, will have come true. I will come again. I will receive you to myself. He will come just as he promised. Hallelujah. That where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. When you see these things, when you see these signs happening, what are we to do? Lift up your eyes. Lift up your heads. Because your redemption is drawing nigh. Friends, don't be like the proverbial ostrich. Don't bury your head. Keep watching for the signs of the imminent return of the Son of Man. Keep our eyes on the approaching signs. Next week, I'll talk to you about the time of his coming. If we don't know the day or the hour, can we know the time? Can we know the month when he will return? What are some of the things that will be the countdown to the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ? The important thing for you this morning is this. If you're not saved, you need to be. If you're not in the kingdom of God, you need to be born again. And for Christians here this morning, it's time for you to cast off any sleep. It's time for you to wake up. For now your salvation is nearer than what it was when you first believed. Let's pray together.